As students begin heading back to school, do you think they'll be learning about the founding principles that made America the freest and most prosperous nation in history? Will they learn that our unalienable rights are God-given and not granted by government? Will they be given a full and honest account of our nation's history? The answer to all of these questions is yes for students at Hillsdale College. In addition to teaching college students, Hillsdale has extended its teaching to K-12 students and lifelong learners like you. If you're not doing so already, one of the best ways to start learning from the folks at Hillsdale is through Imprimis, Hillsdale's free digest of liberty. You can sign up for free at this special website for a limited time at dana4hillsdale.com. And you can look forward to Imprimis each month. It's interesting, useful, and free, and it's one of the best and smartest in conservative constitutionalist thought. Find out more about Hillsdale College and sign up for Imprimis at dana4hillsdale.com. That's dana4hillsdale.com.
The indictment alleges that rather than abide by Georgia's legal process for election challenges, the defendants engaged in a criminal racketeering enterprise to overturn Georgia's presidential election result. Subsequent to the indictment, as is the normal process in Georgia law, the grand jury issued arrest warrants for those who are charged. I am giving the defendants the opportunity to voluntarily surrender no later than noon on Friday, the 25th day of August, 2023.
Whoa, some big news last night. It was a late night for everybody. It was a very late night for everybody because It was the 10 charges that dropped, and whoo boy, we're going to dive into all of it because it's crazy. And we were trying to understand a lot of it too, because you got RICO charges in here, which, by the way, Kane, if you don't have me turned up literally the whole show, because we're going to get into all of it. Dana Lash here, your lovable curmudgeon. You can listen coast to coast. You can stream the nationally syndicated radio show. You can also watch the simulcast of the radio show. I'm having a great hair day today. Everything's laying as it should. We can do all of that, and then we're going to dive into all of this, because not only do we have this situation with Georgia, but we also have the latest with the Hunter stuff, because that dude never goes away. He's a stage 5 clinger, and he never, ever goes away. So we have to, first and foremost, Kane, we got to talk about these serious
RICO
charges. Yeah, no. It's just the
RICO
charges. We've got to discuss these. And these, because there's 19 of them, you have all, also, I love the way the media is like, the co-conspirators. They act like they're a group of spies. It's just wild. Now, if you get the newsletter, which this is why you need to sign up for Chapter and Verse, the newsletter. The reason being is because all of this stuff, Lorraine was on it last night. I don't think she sleeps. I think she just waits. I mean, she was like, she lives for this. She's like, page 42. She's the only other person that Kane can attest, that I would ever trust with this stuff. But she had a piece come out. We had another one this morning through the email newsletter that gets into all of this. And now what we're going to do today, and this is how I want to get you set up so you understand some of this, because you're kind of in this fog of information right now. So what I want to make sure is that you understand, first off, A, the lay of the land. You understand the charges. You understand the people who are also being charged. I also want you to understand what this means, the whole RICO situation, all of that. The problems with this, Andy McCarthy is already going off. We're going to tell you a little bit about the DA. She's also known as the RICO queen. Oh, wait a minute. I didn't do it. She's known as the
RICO
queen. And we're going to get into the it's never going to end. We're going to get into the GOP response, and then also what Georgia can and cannot do. This is important. A lot of people yelling about Brian Kemp. Very important that we understand by law what the Georgia governor can and cannot do. Then we're also going to dive into Maui. We're going to just get into the latest, the crack baby of the White House. We're going to talk about him. Because there's some maneuvers there. I swear to you, they're using all the noise from this to try to maneuver. Wait until you hear what they were pulling last night. So we're going to get into all. Wait. And how could I forget the spokeswoman from the trans spokes, quote unquote, woman, Ukraine military. You heard that. We'll talk about that as well. All right. So first and foremost, the charges. This all happened, I guess. What was this like? When did this kick off? This was like last night. I mean, it was late. It was something like 11 o'clock Central, midnight Eastern, probably. Yeah. So it's pretty late. So all of this, the latest, this indictment, they were unsealed late. And you have a whole bunch of, basically you have 19 people. Of the 19 people, you have 41 charges with the 19 people. Now, the district attorney, Fannie Willis, she's the one who I was telling you is the queen. And it's never going to end. And she was saying that everyone was going to get at least one count of RICO. And the other charges are going to fall into a couple of other different categories. Sidebar. This is never going to end. Never. Because it's absurd. And I feel like it should be entertained with the level of absurdity that it actually rises to. We all agree with this, right? And I am your queen of absurdity reporting for duty. So here's a couple of things. So you have it's weird because this thing is like 90 something pages. I was reading it last night. In fact, I need to pull up my whole bookmarked goofy thing. I was making wild notes last night. It got to the point where it was like 1:30 and I'm like, I didn't even read what I'm writing anymore. What is this? I'm packing up a kid to move to college all while this is happening. Lorraine's reading the RICO stuff. I'm looking at some of this other stuff. Can't read my handwriting anymore. And so she says she expects the DA to turn for all 19 of these individuals to turn themselves in Friday at noon. She wants to try all of them at once. I mean, Circus Maximus much, right? She wants to try all of them at once. Now, one thing that you need to understand about these, and then we're going to get into some of the other stuff. The RICO, as you know, those RICO charges, as you know, this was something that came about, I think it was like first in New York. And I was reading about the history of these the other night. So this first came up in New York where you had these charges. And it was about going after the mob. It's the Racketeer Influenced and Corrupt Organizations Act, or RICO for short. And don't you? I'm telling you, it's never going to end, dude. Ever. And it was in New York. It went after the mafia. So in Georgia, they modeled theirs similarly, except theirs were to go after gang violence and drug dealers, right? Now, here's, again, there's some differences there, but also some other big things to know about it is that this is a state thing. So these charges that Fannie Williams is bringing, it's the state of Georgia. Now, why is that important? Because it means Trump could not pardon himself nor be pardoned. It's not federal. That's what's important to know. In fact, I think it was Andy McCarthy that touched on this too. I think he had a piece out in the New York Post today where he touched on this and was saying that, that's one of the big issues with it. Yeah, Lorraine says it's like a quarter till midnight that all of this stuff, it was signed like a little earlier and then it was unsealed at like a quarter till midnight. So McCarthy has a must-read piece at New York Post this morning. I'll send this out to you later. Or put it up on Facebook, rather. So you have his campaign advisors, operatives, etc. His argument is that, he really feels like, for instance, Alvin Bragg in New York, that was such a stretch. And he was talking, he went after what Andy described as a covert bookkeeping irregularity. Now, keep in mind, Andy McCarthy is not, he's not a Trump fanatic. He's not a fanatic of anybody. He is a law and order guy through and through. Now, obviously, I think he's predisposed to some conservatism, and I have a high regard for him because he doesn't get into bomb throwing and all of that. So when he does say stuff that, you know, kind of raises an eyebrow, that should be taken very seriously. He's one of very few lawyer pundits that I actually have a lot of respect for. I think other people try to hype it, and I just don't get into that because then you lose the measure of the law. But he was saying, like, with, for instance, with the Bragg case, you know, you're looking at what he called this bookkeeping irregularity, and it didn't harm anybody. And you, in order for that to rise to like a felony count, you would have to say another misdemeanor would have to, a misdemeanor would have to have been committed in order to hide that misdemeanor. So it was a major stretch. And then in the Jack Smith case, the Jack Smith case is weird because it was very difficult for Smith to even get into any specificity with regards to criminal statute. I mean, like they one of the things that was tossed about so often in the lead up to this was that there was going to be incitement for a riot, and that never, I mean, that charge never manifest. Now, in this case, because he notes that there is some significant overlap, Georgia's broad, like their RICO statutes are incredibly broad, meaning you can drag like everything in the kitchen sink under this umbrella. That's what's weird about it. It's very odd. And I mean, I think in my estimation, I'm not a lawyer, but I am an informed and educated American citizen. And it's every right for me to understand how my system operates. So the next time someone tells you you're not a lawyer and so you shouldn't be able to understand that, you just repeat that back to them while showing them both your middle fingers, both barrels blazing. So the issue with Smith, the federal statutes that he was looking at, they don't actually, I think, accurately target, and this is what McCarthy noted too. I mean, he's saying that Trump engaged in a certain kind of conduct that isn't reflected by the statute. So, I mean, that's going to be ridiculous. Of course, that's, you know, you're in a D.C. court. It's going to be easy to get something like that to stick. But see, now here, the thing with Fannie Willis, she can invoke whatever law she needs to under this umbrella statute. She can invoke whatever she wants to, you know, what to get the kind of conviction she wants. Like, for instance, you know, states can conduct and police elections. And states have laws that are, as McCarthy noted, specifically, they're tailored specifically to election irregularities and attempt to subvert state processes for tabulating and certifying votes. Sidebar, this is what I think is the great irony. I mentioned this on Fox last night with Pete Hegseth because I corrected him. He was saying that Democrats have objected to elections, I mean, how many times? Three or four presidential elections. The last was the George W. Bush. Well, actually, no, 2016. But George W. Bush, hell, you couldn't get away from the phrase hanging Chad. Here's the difference, though, between what Democrats, and this is where I corrected him, Democrats were saying the whole thing was a fraud. Now, I get that some Republicans say that about 2020. I don't necessarily agree with that because I haven't seen the evidence. I'm not saying that I'm ideologically predisposed to be against it. I am just evidentiary based. I need to see hardcore evidence. I am almost a Vulcan. I need hardcore evidence, unless it's about how Green Day isn't punk. And then, you know, there's no science. It's my opinion and that's rule. So with this situation, Democrats were saying the whole thing was bunk, whereas Republicans were saying, wait a minute. There are certain states, and we understand, again, states have the right to carry out and police their elections. But when you have states that, for the purpose of accommodating a lockdown, decide to disregard protections that they have passed constitutionally, that they are bound to by their own law for signature verification, making sure that, you know, you have the correct date stamped on the ballot, you know, everything. And when that is when they forego that, I think it's perfectly reasonable to say, can we have a moratorium, a quick pause on this so we can certify this? States can police their own elections, but if your state expects my state and me to honor your results, I need to make sure that you held up to your end of the bargain and what you promised to when we all agreed to this grand experiment, and that you're making sure that your ballots are. That's very, very different from saying that the entire election was stolen. So that's where I corrected Pete last night on Fox. I'm like, wait a minute. This is the difference here. And it was only a couple of states, and Georgia was one of them. In fact, Georgia went back and they changed their state law and codified those changes that they had made during lockdown, which weren't actually legal. Pennsylvania did the same thing in contravention of their own state constitution. So there's the difference. Now, my point is that they can do whatever they want with that law, but then when it comes to questioning how they do it, we're going to hit you with where you violated our state law. So when is state law precious and when is it not? That's my question. I'll leave you with that for right now because we got headlines on the way and I have a ton more. I want to break all this down for you so that you can understand it, so that when all these talking heads flap like Canadian characters from South Park, you understand.
Black Rifle Coffee Company, together with the Boot Campaign, are on a mission to raise $1 million to change the lives of veterans. Now through the end of the year, when you grab a can of ready-to-drink coffee, you can help contribute to making this massive donation possible. The Boot Campaign is one of the most renowned veteran-focused nonprofits in the country, working tirelessly to provide life-changing aid and benefits to service members and their families. Black Rifle Ready-to-Drink Coffee is available in several great-tasting flavors at blackriflecoffee.com/Dana or at convenience stores nationwide. Whether it's the berry mocha, vanilla bomb, or espresso salted caramel, every can helps. Fuel your caffeine fix while making a huge difference in the lives of veterans and their families. Black Rifle Coffee Company is committed to serving the veteran community, and with your help, we can all continue to make a difference. Let's raise a can together and keep fueling Americans for a good cause. Visit blackriflecoffee.com/Dana. That's blackriflecoffee.com/Dana.
Has America just become an insurance company with a military? Fitch has officially downgraded America's global credit rating. What's our government's plan? Eliminate tax breaks for your pensions and 401ks and replace them with government retirement accounts. Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right, so first up, this is crazy. The Blind Side? Did you hear about all this? Associated Press Michael Oher, former NFL tackle known for The Blind Side, has sued to end the Tui's conservatorship. So there's all kinds of drama going off about this. Y'all remember that movie starring Sandra Bullock as Leanne Tui? And so Oher filed a petition accusing the Tuis of lying to him by saying that they had him sign papers making them his conservators rather than adopted parents 2 decades ago. He's now... He made millions of dollars in the NFL, and now he's retired from the NFL, and he's a sports commentator. In the petition filed Monday in Shelby County Probate Court, he's asking for the conservatorship to be terminated, along with the full accounting of the money that was used from his name and story. This sequel is going to be a banger, man. That's all I know. It's going to be kind of crazy. It's sad to see something like this happen, but I don't know. North Korea bans women from wearing shorts after deeming them capitalist fashion, but men can still wear them. Short Stack down there in North Korea says that women can no longer wear shorts. I'm surprised they can do anything. I'm surprised they have enough material and labor even to make shorts in North Korea. You know, that's the place where you can only get like one of a handful of haircuts that are accepted by Short Stack down there. You know, the icon of fashion. And Musk is accused of ducking the Zuckerberg fight. Zuckerberg says it's not going to happen. Musk offered to show up to his house and fight him on his porch, basically. And Musk said that's not a serious MMA fight. Stay with us. Every day we hear about another familiar brand undermining their customers and going, quote, woke. Americans are sick and tired of having far-left propaganda jammed into every product they consume. And for years, they've dumped millions into far-left causes, and everybody had to kind of take it because you needed a cell phone and probably thought that there was no alternative. Well, there is, and that's Patriot Mobile. Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless provider, offering dependable nationwide coverage on all 3 major networks, so you get the same coverage you've been accustomed to in your area, minus the far-left propaganda. And when you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're sending a message that you support free speech and religious freedom, the sanctity of life, Second Amendment, our military, veterans, and first responders. Visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT. Get free activation today using offer code DANA and ask about their coverage guarantee while you're there. Get the same dependable service and take a stand for your values. Make the switch today. patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT.
YouTube, Facebook, or DirecTV. If you're looking for the number one afternoon host in the country, you've found her. Download the podcast every day to catch up. The Dana Show.
Love and a lot. Quick question. Can you clarify in Georgia the mandatory minimum when it comes to RICO charges, whether it's servable by probation or how that might play out?
The RICO charges has time that you have to serve, so it is not a probated sentence.
Did you catch Fanny's smugness there?
Oh,
I mean, you could slice that like bread. It was just so thick. The smugness. Welcome back to the show. Bottom of this first hour. Dana Lash here with you. We're going over whatever the hell this is in Georgia. I mean, she's indicting everything. Did you look at Trump? You're indicted. She's like the Oprah of indictments. You get a RICO charge. You get a RICO. Oh, wait a minute. You get a RICO charge. Everyone gets RICO charges. You're going to be so tired of this at the end of the day, and I don't care because it's absurd. The whole thing's absurd. So this whole thing, I made this point earlier with Georgia. The reason this is real different, this is a state thing as opposed to Jack Smith, which is, you know, obviously these are federal charges, and Trump can't pardon himself, and he cannot be pardoned by a Republican if he gets a conviction under this. Now, let me tell you this, because everyone's going, Brian Kemp. So in Georgia, let me explain what Kemp can do and can't do. Actually, there's nothing he can do. This is what Brian Kemp can't do. He cannot pardon anybody because you have a pardon board. Now, there have been people who have said, well, you know, he picks the part. So this is similar to Texas, where, you know, Governor Greg Abbott can appoint people on the board of pardons, etc. But there are certain still restrictions that are applicable to that even. It actually kind of curtails the governor's ability to do a lot of stuff. It's like a check and balance. And in Georgia, it's the same thing with a caveat. They can't even consider a pardon unless a portion of that sentence is already served. So in Trump's case, they couldn't even, if he was convicted, the Board of Pardons, they couldn't even consider it until 5 years of the sentence was served. So there's literally nothing Kemp can do. Now, I know that there have been some changes to the law that allow him to weigh in on certain things as it relates to the pardon board, but not with the RICO statutes. That's another important distinction. So just remember, for a lot of people that, you know, for people that are talking about that, that's his hands really legitimately are tied. So the whole, I mean, looking at all of this, here's the question that I have. So for the RICO charge, which we were explaining last segment, what is the established, how's it worded? The established organized criminal enterprise that is in the post 2020 Trump campaign that justifies a RICO charge? That's my question. That's where I think a lot of us are getting really kind of tripped up here, because this doesn't make sense to us. I mean, I'm looking at all this stuff, you know, and I'm just trying to figure out what it's the Racketeer Influenced and Corrupt Organizations Act. This is their Georgia's version. And they look at racketeering, you know, that's organized crime. And that involves extortion. It's a criminal scheme. All of this stuff. I don't understand what in his campaign rises to that measure. Does that make sense? Because and I'm looking at the charges for guidance here, guys. This is some of the stuff I'm seeing. And Kane noted. This is my notes on this page. This is on page 24. So they're mad? She got mad because he tweeted about the OAN network? It says, quote, on or about the third day of December 2020, Donald John Trump caused to be tweeted from the Twitter account at Real Donald Trump, quote, Georgia hearings now on OANN. Amazing. This was an overt act in furtherance of the conspiracy. So they're saying him tweeting Georgia hearings now on OAN was furtherance of the conspiracy, of a conspiracy charge? Because, see, all of that can be put under this umbrella of RICO. And so, like, for instance, one of the other guys who's getting a RICO charge, David James Schaefer, on or about the 11th day, the reserve room 216. It says, David James Schaefer reserved this room 216 at the Georgia State Capitol in Fulton County for the December 14th meeting of Trump presidential elector nominees in Fulton County, Georgia. This was an overt act in furtherance of the conspiracy. What? And they say that On the 21st day, Mark Randall Meadows sent a text message to Representative Scott Perry from Pennsylvania and stated, "Can you send me the number of the speaker and leader of the Pennsylvania legislature? POTUS wants to chat with them." That's an overt act in furtherance of... This seems like a stretch. I gots to say. It seems like a stretch. Seems because it is. Usually, and as McCarthy has noted, whenever you hear about RICO, that's always about going after organized crime. And it's anti-racketeering, meaning, you know, you're moving against organized conspiracy, fraud, extortion, bribery, and that. And you can put these different criminalities under one arrangement of conspiracy, right? And he says, he writes in New York Post, quote, "Willis depicts Trump and his campaign as the overarching racketeering enterprise and alleges that this group," this gets into my question, "alleges that this group engaged in a variety of schemes, all aimed at corruptly reversing the election outcome from Trump's efforts to pressure Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger to invalidate ballots cast for Biden, to the so-called fake electors plot, to substitute a slate of Trump electors." That's the Schaefer, that's related to the Schaefer conspiracy charge. And now he says, now he's being very, don't get mad at him for being straight no chaser. You should learn from it and figure out how to deal with it. That's what the takeaway should be. He says, "It sounds like ambitious charging." He adds, and he differs from a couple of people, and he's not usually wrong, because out of all the lawyer pundits out there, he's the only one that's like gone after the blind sheikh. He prosecuted 9/11 stuff, prosecuted World Trade Center stuff. I mean, he says this may not be that much of a reach. He goes, "Willis's case may not be cut and dried as the Mar-a-Lago document indictment." But he says, because of the way that it's being, you remember how I said the criminality is under the statute, how they're arranged? He said that makes it perilous because, quote, "it involves an easily provable retention of," when he talks about the Mar-a-Lago stuff. And he said, "there's fewer constitutional ramifications here, but Willis's case being straightforward, less legally problematic than Smith's election interference case, is surely more compelling than Bragg's nakedly partisan business records indictment." So hers is less legally problematic, and partially due to the way that this is being arranged and organized, the charges. He says that what concerns Trump is the Georgia case could be the most enduring of all. And I have heard that from a number of people. Because, see, with the Mar-a-Lago case, if Trump or a Republican president were elected, they could pardon. If the Bragg case, you know, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that you can, you know, you can pardon for this federal stuff. And he says that this is why Smith is pushing so hard to get federal courts in Washington and Florida to accelerate the schedule and get the case to trial before Election Day. Because he says if Trump or another Republican were to win 2024, they could just pardon or have the DOJ drop Smith's indictments. That's why Smith is fast tracking this stuff. That's why that's moving as fast as it can. Now, Willis has to convince a jury in Atlanta to convict him. Now, I'm going to say this is where it gets a little weird for Trump. He got real mad after 2020, and Georgia took a lot of the brunt of it. And there were surrogates down there. And I know this because I went to Georgia to help raise money for candidates and help get out the vote. I was down there. And you had people. Who's that one guy? That goofy bastard. What's his name? Linwood. He was out there telling people to stay home, to the point where that special election, one of the counties, and I heard this from a hardcore Trump grassroots canvasser, they said that it was Greene's County, Marjorie Taylor Greene's County, that had like the fewest voters that came out. It actually worked against them, and it cost the special election. This is why, even when you are infuriated, and even if you think some people deserve to get told, if you know that you still have a path forward that you got to walk, you got to play this right. You got to play it right. And I don't know yet. The reason I bring this up is because I don't know how that is going to impact a jury in Atlanta. I don't know how that's going to work. Because he lost votes in Georgia in 2020. And I think that because he's already beefing with some of the folks there. Now, I'm not saying that you don't raise concerns if your campaign has concerns, but there's a way to go about it. That's my whole point. So I don't know how that'll play out. And even if Trump were elected or DeSantis, there's no way that either of them would be able to pardon for this. It's very telling indeed. Now, you remember the documents that came out yesterday? So the DA's office was saying that it was a place marker. And that sounds legitimate. There weren't a lot of things that changed on it. I did think it was kind of stupid how, what was it, their court was saying, oh, well, that was a fake. It wasn't a fake. It was on your damn website. I mean, the screenshots that were shared after you immediately pulled it, and then the URL came up to an error page, it was on their website. So it was a place marker. I just wish they would have been honest about that in the beginning. They would have said, because you know what? That then adds to suspicion that people have. If you're not just transparent and honest with people, don't expect them to believe that you're going to give anybody a fair shake. Now, the Giuliani case, Giuliani's charge people are going back and forth on this, and we're going to get into some of that here. But it's going to be how this goes. And because their law is so broad. I mean, Willis is not, she's not trying to stretch. She doesn't have to make the leap in logic that Bragg does in order to substantiate this case. And that makes it, again, less legally problematic. And it's because all these other people that she accuses that were under him to advance what she calls his criminal conspiracy, that also makes him culpable under RICO. So that makes it a little difficult to dismiss. So this is going to be a big show. It'll be a big show. Some of what she's doing is ridiculous. Like the stuff where tweeting about OAN, this is stupid. She's not, now some people are like, oh, it's a crime to tweet. That's not how I read it. She's saying that a tweet can basically further a criminal action. Because she's saying that this is a conspiracy and that his tweet somehow extends the criminal action of his conspiracy, which I think is stupid. That is so dumb. I don't see something like that sticking. That's so stupid. We still have a lot more to get into. And then the Hunter Biden stuff. And the latest with Maui. Joe Biden's going to give everyone $700 one off. Ironically, or coincidentally, that's exactly how much extra everyone is paying because of Biden inflation. Yeah, Bidenomics. We've got all that and more. We'll talk. Does it seem like every time you turn around or open up your wallet, you're shocked at the changes that have directly impacted your life in just 2.5 years? There's something that you can do to protect the value of your hard-earned savings and retirement accounts. Contact the folks at American Hartford Gold and talk to them about your options in diversifying your assets. Empower yourself with opportunity. Hold on to the fruits of your hard work and protect your future. So do what I did and call the only precious metal dealers I trust, American Hartford Gold. Diversify your portfolio with physical gold and silver delivered right to your door or inside of your IRA or 401k. American Hartford Gold is the highest rated firm in the country with an A+ rating from the Better Business Bureau and thousands of satisfied clients. Call today and they'll give you up to $5,000 of free silver on your first qualifying order. Call American Hartford Gold today at 866-887-1188. That's 866-887-1188 or text Dana to 998899. That's 866-887-1188 or text Dana to 998899.
Catch the Dana Show noon to 3 p.m. Eastern on DirecTV Channel 347.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
So I went with this large group of people, and the person who had arranged our dinner did the ordering. There was a delicious mushroom dish. I was not aware that these mushrooms had hallucinogenic properties. I learned that later. I can tell you that
later, like in your when you were sleeping and having visions, or
I read that if the mushrooms are cooked properly, which I'm sure they were at this very good restaurant, that they have no impact. But all of us enjoyed the mushrooms, the restaurant, and none of us felt any ill effects.
So you say.
Just our economy did.
Yeah, just our economy. Right. She still did bow like a what is it? What do you call that? The little bird fountain thingy?
Oh, yeah.
Little bird in the water. She just bowed like crazy. It was like watching a teeter-totter. Stop. That was Janet Yellen talking about how she ate some shrooms and got high as a kite. And then she went over. It's true.
That's not what she said.
Yeah, she's like, I got high as a kite. I was. Man. She was like, they asked me how high I was. And I was like, Chinese spy balloon. So that's what she said. You heard her. Janet Yellen. You were the one. Kane's over here going, my gosh, you know, our economy's doing it and she's getting high and blah, blah, blah. He's over here like,
it's probably President Biden's Coke in the White House. And she's
probably
on
hers.
And she's on shrooms. I mean,
that's
look at her.
Janet's.
Just look at our economy. That's
look
what
at her. She's already been to being on shrooms. It's probably her cocaine at this point. Hunter's probably like, it wasn't me this time. No, you know what? I'm sure Hunter heard that story and was like, Dad, why didn't I get to go on that trip? I like mushroom soup, too. Why didn't I get to have some of the hallucinogenic soup?
Don't
Man.
Cook mine.
Well, I mean, I just don't think that that's, because wouldn't they tell you as a part of, you know, part of being at a fancy dinner, oh, you're having this fancy,
right,
whatever mushroom thing that in the dish, and you wouldn't read anything about it? I don't know. Or maybe she's busy talking. I don't know. I don't know what these people do. I'm allergic to those types of events. So I don't know. But I only go if I absolutely have to. If I'm raising money for someone. If I'm trying to like get people to like pitch in and help out. That's the only time I'd go to. Because I hate the rubbing elbow stuff. But I just think that she. Do you think that they were cook? I don't think they were cooked wrong, really. She's in China, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
That stuff
would not cook properly.
I have questions, too.
That's the CCP. I mean, it's the communists. She just said, oh, I'm sure it was a good communist restaurant. It was communist mushroom soup. And I'm sure the communists cooked the communist soup properly. You believe any of that? Really? Got a bridge to sell you. All right, coming up, we got a lot more in store. We're still breaking down that indictment, all those goofy charges. We got the Ukraine military's transgender, quote unquote, spokeswoman. Yeah, it's a real sentence. Stick with us.
No visit by the president is on schedule at this moment.
We just want to make sure that we are working to help this community identify everybody that's missing, and we need to stay focused on that right now.
Still just horrible situation in Maui. The fires, the victims, the toll is rising still. The devastation, horrific. Welcome back to the program, top of this second hour. We've been covering the indictment and everything else, and also to give you an update about just what's being done as it relates to the devastation in Maui. Now, the president was tweeting about this finally yesterday. Well, was it? Yeah, yesterday. Now, this is what stuck out to a lot of people. He said, quote, we are laser focused on getting aid to survivors, including critical needs assistance, a one-time $700 payment per household offering relief during an unimaginably difficult time. Now, I noted in the newsletter, it is interesting how that also is the exact amount of money that families are spending per month more than they were 2 years ago, thanks to inflation. In fact, this is CNN. This is just a couple of days ago. U.S. inflation means families are spending $709 more per month than they were 2 years ago. Kind of interesting. So really, that's not going to do anything, is it? It seems like it's kind of an insult. Yeah. I mean, at least to me, it does. The other thing about this, too, and I was thinking about this. We discussed yesterday how three different investigative firms and insurance that are looking at this. Everybody is coming back to the possibility, or at least, you know, what the speculation is that this was perhaps the fault of their Hawaii Electric, the electric company there. And they're saying that because, you know, they should have shut power off at this particular moment. It was dry. You had, what was it, Hurricane Dora. So you had these, you know, hurricane force winds, 70 miles per hour. There were a bunch of things that contributed to creating this disaster, right? And so, okay, you had people who paid their electric bill. You had people who paid their taxes. Hawaii has a lot of taxes. It's a very, very Democrat state. Very Democrat state. I mean, I'm looking at this. There's another piece. Hawaiian Electric is being accused. It's Hawaiian Electric. Hawaiian Electric. I guess so. My question is this: Then why do they? They're getting $700, a one-time payment of $700, right? But they paid. They paid their electric bill. Why isn't the electric company? Why isn't Hawaii dealing with it? When you vote for a quasi-socialist state, well, you vote to give your money and to the socialist state for it to protect you. And then when the socialist state does something that hurts you, it's the socialist state that should pay up. Isn't that correct? So they're getting a one-time $700 payment? I just have a lot of questions about that. That just... what is the $200 billion? How much have we spent to Ukraine? And he wanted to authorize just what in the past 7 days another $40 billion to Ukraine. Is it because he can't launder money in Maui? Exactly. Whether it was the chemical spill. I just look at all of these disasters that have happened. He just doesn't, unless he can't launder money there, I guess. They just don't, they don't care. He's at, where is he at? Is he in Reno right now? Is that, or Lake Tahoe? Isn't that where he is?
Yeah, just saw that.
He traded his beach vacation for a lake vacation.
I think he landed in Wisconsin. Is that where he did?
Yeah. He's going there to talk about, to celebrate his Bidenomics. And then he's going to go to his beach vacation, I guess. I just think that's just a little odd to me. Yeah? You're celebrating Bidenomics. You're all paying $700 more a year as a family than you are, you know, than you have any other time prior. We're going to give you a one-off payment of $700. Again, I just feel like if... you paid into the socialist state, and what good is the socialist state for? I'm asking the question. I have another story that I want to bring up to you. I don't have it on this rundown, but it's kind of a Law and Order story. Actually, I should have had it on culture here. It is in the prep. Did you guys hear about this story? They're trying to act like it's a big victory for climate change. You're going to get mad over this story, actually, when I tell you what this. So this, it's a young environmental activist prevail in the first of its kind climate change trial in Montana. Associated Press has this piece, and they say that this was Monday. A Montana judge said that state agencies were violating their constitutional rights to these kids to a clean and healthy environment by allowing fossil fuel development. Oh boy. Now, this could set a major precedent, actually. They ruled in favor of these teenagers. They were saying Montana's use of fossil fuels harmed their health and it contributed to their allergies and it contributed to all this other stuff. And it's kind of mind numbing. That this was actually, okay, but this was the decision. They said that it adds to a small number of legal decisions around the world that have established this, like whatever, government duty to protect people with you know, that have environmental concerns and that bring this kind of stuff up. The weird thing, though, is when you look at, and I'm pulling up my notes on this because I was, do you realize that they were granted standing because they claimed that climate change made their pollen allergies worse and they couldn't ski as much? You think I'm joking? That's an actual real thing. That was what, I'm looking at the thing. It says, Lander has seasonal pollen allergies, which are worsening due to the increased pollen count in a changing climate. Blah, blah, blah. He likes to ski, etc. They're passionate about skiing. They've skied for as long as they can remember. This is literally a sentence. They're talking about skiing. Literally a sentence. This is page 50. They are passionate about skiing. Climate change is reducing their ability to participate in this important recreational activity. That was, Kane, you okay? That was literally what factored into this. That was the case. They have pollen and they can't ski as much. And then one of the, they were talking about this five-year-old plaintiff, and they were saying that the plaintiff has feelings like loss, despair, and anxiety from climate change. This is insane. If you're a five-year-old and you're feeling like this over the weather, it's because your parents are moronic nut jobs who should have DFS called on them for stressing you out with emotional child abuse as a five-year-old. That's ridiculous. It's the blanking weather. Talking about a five-year-old with us. Jiminy Christmas. This was the actual ruling. It's crazy. This is crazy. And so the kid, Lander, he's not a kid, he's actually a young adult. He was asked about winning this case, and he goes, hell yes, we won, and I'm going fishing. So he's going to grow up with his rich family, because he comes from a super bougie rich family. I mean, when you're owning land, that much land in Montana, hi. And you have this kind of money to engage in lawfare. He sued his state. Because, you know, screw the poor people. You know, he can't get to ski as much. This Nepo baby doesn't get to ski as much. I mean, he's like a grown dude. And they're like, oh, children. There's like a five-year-old that they had involved in this. But he was mad because he couldn't ski as much. And so now he's going to go fishing and camping with all the equipment and boat that daddy bought him with daddy's money. I mean, he's a sugar baby. Really? This is who won this case, and this is how it was determined. I'm not even making this up. And this actually threatens to set a legal precedent. This is a real thing. Oh my gosh. And he's not, I mean, they weren't exaggerating. The skiing thing is in there. That's on page, yeah, that's all on page 50. It's climate change. And then the other one says it's, quote, climate change was, quote, hampering his ability to perform music and theater at a high level. I'm reading the court documents. This is verbatim. They sound like pansies. I wish I was making this up, but I'm not. How do you quantify this? I mean, you're talking about an immeasurable thing like a five-year-old's emotions, right? That can be easily manipulated by parents. I've got questions on this. This is so goofy. So that's the other thing that happened. That came down yesterday. I know. Some bougie progressive kid with daddy's money to burn decided to take a stand. So crazy. Now, that's not all. There's pull up a couple of other things. Because let me touch on this. Skittles packaging. I know, we just got to touch on it. Why can't you just be candy? Just be candy. Just be something that people eat. It's not difficult. Now, they've partnered, they've done stuff with the Alphabet people before in marketing, but now people are, I guess, recognizing this. Do conservatives not eat Skittles? But it went beyond the Alphabet stuff, and they started to get into the trans stuff. And that's when people really started. It seems like nobody does anything about the Alphabet stuff, regular, LGB stuff, if rainbow stuff, if it's so long as people aren't targeting kids with marketing and stuff. But it's when the trans element is incorporated, that's when it seems like the criticism and all of that starts. So they had trans, like trans stuff on the Skittles package. What is the point of it? They actually have a thing on the, it says Black Trans Lives Matter. On the package has like this, it's like this silver package and it has a drawing of like a half pipe on it. And on the side of it, it says Black Trans Lives Matter. And it's I guess like kids that it's targeting. What is the point of this? What is the point of putting this on like a candy package? I think that if you are so low in life that you're like, oh my gosh, I totally did not feel affirmed and happy until I reached for this candy package, you need therapy. You need to see a professional because you are jacked in the head. I'm saying that to be helpful. I'm not going to candy coat. I'm not going to candy coat stuff. I mean, that just, if you're so weak that you need to be affirmed by damn candy, like what's next? Toilet paper? Oh my gosh, can you imagine? How does that work? How do the Charmin bears deal with that? I'm just curious.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So, a couple of things. I just saw this quick court case. Simon Atiba had broke the story. A federal court just ruled that Washington, D.C. unfairly applied, quote-unquote, defacement rules, treating anti-abortion groups differently from Black Lives Matter. He writes that the court said that during the protests in 2020, BLM activists painted streets despite the same rules without arrests. So definitely there was something to play here. We'll talk more about that as well here coming up. This is a horribly sad story. So Axios reports that credit card delinquencies, not just credit card delinquencies, but a lot of stuff actually is hitting above pre-pandemic levels, actually past pre-pandemic levels. More Americans are falling behind on their payments. The rate of new credit card delinquencies has now surpassed officially its pre-COVID level, clocking in at 7.2% second quarter from the New York Fed. Auto loan delinquencies, 7.3% in quarter two, also higher than pre-pandemic levels. Now, mortgage delinquencies do remain low. So Americans are relying, obviously, on credit cards to make budgets work because Biden inflation, right? You're paying an extra $700 per family per year thanks to Biden inflation. And also, now, a couple of other things. AI can now steal your passwords with 95% accuracy just by listening to you type. Yeah, that actually creeps me out. Wait, does every keyboard, though, make... I don't think every keyboard, every click makes the same sound. This is what is being reported. Researchers say that they found an AI-driven attack can steal passwords with up to 95% accuracy by listening to what you type in your keyboard. It's Cornell University. They had researchers trained on AI models that used audio recordings of people typing, and the AI learned to identify the different sound that each key makes, and they tested it, and it was 95% accurate. That's terrifying. It's time to start yelling when you type. Stick with us.
To catch up on all the headlines and crazy wokery, download the Dana Show podcast and get Dana's perspective on the Dana Show.
If bad actors tell us falsely that every election is stolen and that the only way an election is trustworthy is if they come out on top of it, then something, it tells you something not just about that person or that moment. It maybe wounds us as a democracy and in a way that is hard to repair.
It wounds us, you know, like a dog with a leg. It wounds us. It's wounded. Oh, man. I'm going to need some prayers to get through this segment. All right. Welcome back to the show. Dana Lash with you. Lovable curmudgeon. You can listen coast to coast. Make sure you join the discussion over at YouTube. Also stream us YouTube, Facebook, simulcast, channel 347, DirecTV via the first. So that was Rachel Maddow. You know who said, if you didn't watch, if you weren't watching the simulcast, or if you were unaware of whom she was speaking with, you want to know who was sitting across from her? I turned it into Charlie Day. Didn't mean to. But you want to know? Do you want to know?
Tell us, Dana.
It's Hillary. What difference does it make? It was Hillary. Hillary Clinton, who was sitting there beaming. Beaming, I tell you. I mean, I guess you have to be feeling like, you know, you're in the catbird seat when you're looking out and everybody else is getting in trouble for the stuff that you legit did. It's like if you're a kid and you do something to your sibling and then your parent comes in and you convince your parent to get your sibling in trouble. And then you just sit over there like, nah. It's kind of what it looks like. What are you getting ready to launch over there?
You mean this Hillary?
Uh-huh.
I think it's also critical to understand that, as I've been telling candidates who have come to see me, mm-hmm. you can run the best campaign, you can even become the nominee, and you can have the election stolen from you.
Oh. 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 Yeah. Now, this was all from her. I mean, they were very excited about this. They were very excited about the indictment. And then to have Hillary Clinton on, audio soundbite 6, she talks about her satisfaction. Hillary Clinton, listen to this.
But I don't know that anybody should be satisfied. This is a terrible moment for our country to have a former president accused of these terribly important crimes. The only satisfaction may be that the system is working, that all of the efforts by Donald Trump, his allies and his enablers to try to silence the truth, to try to undermine democracy, have been brought into the light and justice is being pursued.
She tried to Vince Foster the 2016 election by working with an unfair registered agency that had hired a discredited spy to go and literally work with Russian oligarchs to try to smear the president-elect. And then they lied to a FISA court and they weaponized every government agency they could to spy on innocent, honest Americans and then threaten their families if they didn't comply. That's literally what she did. I mean, it's unarguable. And she said, Wow. Mm-mm-mm. I'm telling you. It's a joke. It's a joke. Now, Fannie Williams says she wants, apparently, Trump and the co-defendants to surrender by noon on, not this Friday, but next Friday. It would be next Friday. And you're probably going to get some, there's going to be some mugshots. Will we get a mugshot this time? Okay, so they say my threat stands. I can never, and I will never hold him in a good regard ever again, and I'll spit if I hear his name if he does not merch the hell out of a mugshot. I'm not kidding you. I want to see cups. Mouse, do they do mouse pads anymore? I don't think they do those. Do they do those? Trackpad pads? Do they do that? I think it's a trackpad. I don't know. Although, a lot of my animator friends are like, no, mice are where it's at. Anyway. I'm talking like t-shirts. I'm talking flags. I'm talking puzzles. Ooh, a puzzle would be good, wouldn't it? Cross-stitch projects. I mean, I've got it all mapped out in my head. A cross-stitch. Like, sell that stuff on Amazon or Etsy, man. All of that. Like, I'm thinking everything. Stickers.
Can koozies, watches.
Oh, yeah. Koozies, watches. Phone covers for all that. In addition to the t-shirts and the blankets and everything else.
Socks.
The slippers. Right. Think of the slippers.
Socks and slippers.
I'm making products for you. Like, think about this. The mugshot combined with the Mike Lindell slipper.
Ooh.
A MyPillow Trump mugshot slipper.
Funny and comfortable.
Yeah. Like, just take it and own it, man. Merch the hell out of it. Like, I'm thinking of all this stuff to come up with, right? All this, the Halloween costume possibility, just like makes tons of money off it. You know how much money you make off this? And then do like a Shepherd Fair. What's his name? Shepherd Fairey, the guy who did the Obama poster. Do that. That's a poster to make. Do a Shepherd-esque kind of poster. Yeah, or a BRC coffee cup. Like all this stuff. I mean, there's so many things to do here. I mean, just think of all the activities. They feel like stepbrothers when they made bunk beds. We have so much room for activities. I am over pencils, pens, snow globes, ornaments. It doesn't stop there, Kane. Pillows. Pet kerchiefs. Where does it stop? Nowhere. Won't stop, can't stop. All of it. I mean, think of this. The decals, right? Oh, my gosh. Just the yard signs, just the faces. Just think of it. Think of the things you could do. I will never be able to respect him if he doesn't merch the crap out of it. I can't. This isn't, it's an obvious opportunity. I mean it. I will be so disappointed that I won't. And by the way, for anyone who would argue that, well, you know, if it's a, you know, mugshot, whatever, that can, the Shepherd Fairey, like any kind of IP that was brought over that, any kind of IP litigation, like when you push it out in public so often, you can't actually, you, it then becomes like, you know, it's fair use. You whittle away the property rights to it and you can just merch it out like that 6 ways to Sunday. So I'm just saying, you need to do that. Now, I don't know. You could do like the trading cards. Oh, man, you could collect all of them. You know, you could do like a total like game across the nation. And if you collect all 19, then you win something.
That's a brilliant idea.
I'm full of brilliant merging ideas. I have a particular set of skills. Memorizing gun law, diagramming sentences. Okay. I'm really good at those things. Accents and merging ideas. Really good at those things. Now, like carrying that out is another thing entirely, but you know, you see where I'm going. But I'm just saying, you know, that'd be the thing to do. They ought to have it like ready. Like just go ahead and have all the templates ready to go. Buttons? Did I say buttons? I don't think I said buttons. What else am I missing? Belt buckles?
Backpacks,
is that too weird? Backpacks?
Umbrellas?
I mean, backpacks, hats, and umbrellas. Yeah, like everything you can think of. You know, and actually, everything. Table coverings. Like what else?
Napkins.
The wall thingies, the wall peely thingies. All of it. I mean, there's so many things you can do. Paper plate. Like, I mean,
those
just
fat
just,
heads? Is that what you mean?
What?
Those fat heads?
Yeah, the fat heads. All of that. Like, there's so many things you could do. Oh my gosh. So, that needs to happen. All of that needs to happen. I'm going to be super disappointed if it doesn't. Super disappointed. Now, this is all, you know, with the queen. So, we'll see if that happens. We'll see if she brings it. We'll see. We'll see if she wins. But yeah, the mugshot. You know, the Republican Party. There, James Comer came out with a statement. It's too long to read, but he says that it's a move. Blah blah blah. The Republicans are going after it. You have to remember, because everyone's like, well, what is the House going to do? Well, win 2024. Here's why. They can do something, but it'll die in the House. And if they play their cards too hard, Democrats are going to use that to try to twist independents and moderates. This is all a strategy game. You can hate it as much as you want to. This is how it's played. Be Sun Tzu about it then. So to have the Senate to prosecute it, to really make it stick, is what you need. And I think that they're hoping for that. Now, Hunter Biden's longtime defense lawyer has asked to exit from the case representing first son McCrack Baby in tax and gun crimes, because he literally could be a witness. This is not the bong smoking, the bong hitting attorney. This is not the one who looks disheveled and dirty, who is on the balcony, literally about to meet a drug addict in a legal case, taking a hit off his bong. Not that attorney. Shockingly. it is his longtime defense lawyer, Christopher Clark. He says he's now a witness with the special counsel being appointed. Yeah, they're trying to argue that he has basically immunity. We're going to dive deeper into this next hour, but they're trying to argue, oh, he's got Hunter Biden technically. I mean, he's got a lot of immunity. He's got immunity for, you know, in perpetuity, essentially, because of this gun charge. We'll talk about that. I mentioned a little bit earlier the Simon Atiba thing. Isn't that wild? That story that he reported that this Washington, D.C. court had discovered that Black Lives Matter got special treatment and pro-life groups were discriminated against because of ideology when it came to quote unquote defacing laws, meaning you could like put a design in the street with some chalk or something and it was considered defacing if pro-life groups did it, but it was totally fine if Black Lives Matter did it. I mean, all of this, do you see the two standards of justice here? I mentioned this to Pete Hegseth, who was in for Jesse Waters last night, because we were talking about all of this with the indictment coverage. I said, here's the bigger thing to take away from this. People are looking at what's happening in Georgia, just like they looked at what's happening in D.C. and New York with Alvin Bragg. And they're drawing comparisons with that. They're looking at how Hunter Biden is being coddled by these same agencies that are doing everything that they can to go after the former president. But what's more, these are also, ladies and gentlemen, the same agencies that went after parents at school board meetings. They went after gun owners, federal firearms licensees trying to get them for a misplaced comma or something. They've gone after everyone, not over any kind of criminal offense, but ideological differences. They are trying to criminalize difference in thought, especially if it leads to difference in speech, disagreement. That's what people are looking at. And they're drawing some pretty stark comparisons from what's happening here. And Democrats, they think that they're ahead of the game. And whenever they think that, they're over their skis. They think that they're helping themselves, but they're adding to this evidence pile where people can see this major difference between how things are handled and prosecuted. I'm very eager to see how that measures out in 2024. We got Florida Man on the way.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Okay, so where? Okay, this is what I want to get to this one. This is the Florida man that faked a heart attack during an arrest. And I've seen some people get creative. Okay, I also need someone to explain to me his facial hair situation. It's like he's got a beard, but then it's tied underneath it, his chin. Yeah. I am fully distracted now. Okay, back to the story. This is Flagler County, Florida. A Florida man was arrested. So he's arrested for possession of drugs and controlled substances, right? Well, when the police, when they engaged him, this was on August 6th, he had possession of a whole bunch of stuff. And then he didn't want to obey law enforcement. They pulled his car over. They smelled pot. They searched his car. They found all kinds of stuff, like fentanyl, like crazy stuff. And then as they tried to arrest him, he literally pretended to have a heart attack so he could get out of the arrest. They called medical units, and then they're like, dude, he cannot be evaluated because A, he faked it. B, he's a jerk. And six, his behavior's crazy, so we don't trust him. So let's, there's a million. They had a million reasons. His actions, his demeanor, he was rude. He was rude to the medical officers. And they're like, if you're having a heart attack, how are you such a jerk right now? Like, why are you? Like, you're supposed to be having a heart attack. So they took him to a local hospital. They cleared him, and now he's being held on a $1,000 bond. And he's got a long record. Like, he's got child abuse, domestic violence, battery, grand theft. So a $1,000 bond. So that's all he was held on. I'm just, good heavens. This one. I'm trying to figure out how this is wild. I did not know that you could have a problem with the peacock population. I did not know that they bred and their population grew that fast. But apparently it's to the point, this is a real sentence, this is why I had to set this up. It's at the point where a Florida man is going to give vasectomies to peacocks. There are so many jokes in this headline, I can't get past it. It's an actual real story. So the story is this. This community in Florida, they are dealing with peacocks. This is Pinecrest, Florida. There's a lot of them. And they've had trappers come because residents have requested it. They've shipped, some of the birds to different areas, but they say that it's, they're having like, there's enough to have hundreds of vasectomies. That's how crazy the peacock population is here in Pinecrest. So for a long time, county law prohibited it. It was prohibited, but now they're allowing it. They got an exemption. It's in Miami-Dade County that has rules against trapping large birds. So they hired these trappers and they're responding to resident requests for sterilization because they said that, they're annoying, but they're very beautiful, but they're super annoying. They apparently attack the cars of residents. Like if peacocks are walking by parked cars and they see their reflection in the cars, they attack the car. I did not know they did this. They roost everywhere. They said they'll roost on your roof, everywhere, on your car. And they're very loud, very vocal. They do a lot of damage. And so they have this pilot program where they're coming out and they are sterilizing them. And they said that they get multiple complaints, almost more than they can handle every week. It is nonstop. That is the Miami-Dade commissioner representing the community. So they don't want to eradicate. They want to control it because it's getting crazy. That's wild. I didn't know that. I'll take one. Aren't they like good guard animals? Peacocks are good guard animals. I'll totally take a peacock. I don't know how they'll do in Texas, but they better not attack my car. Stick with us.
Senator Hirono, who I said the president spoke to just last night, he thanked the president for the immediate support of federal agencies have delivered for residents of Hawaii, and so does Senator Schatz.
Senator Schatz. That's what we're going with now and forever. I need that immediately for my Farrago board, because we have to have it always and forever. That's KJP. Welcome back to the show. Top of the third hour, Dana Lash with you. So she called Mazie Hirono a man and then said Senator Brian Schatz. Actually, his name's Schatz, but man, Schatz. This is getting
Schatz.
Real...
Schatz.
Yeah. This is getting real crazy quick, isn't it? What is worse? Because one sounds like the past tense of something I can't say on air. And then the other is a word I can't say on air combined with a word I can. So, Senator Brian Schatz, we all know what that means, right? Stop it. It's not his name. That's what it means, you people with dirty Schatz. Minds.
Schatz.
It's, she said it, so it must be true, right? Hey, how's that Nord Stream pipeline or the Nordstrom pipeline? I have to think to say it wrong. The Nordstrom pipeline. You know, they're having a big summer sale right now. Are those goodies going to be just pummeling through, going to be coming through that pipeline here to the U.S. of A.? You know, the Nordstrom pipeline. How did she say emeritus again? She made it sound like a disease.
Emeritus?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Yes. It sounds like infantigo or something. Emeritus or how. I don't know how she said it. Oh my God. You have one job. Like, that's her only job. She has literally one job. It is to read things on the paper that has been put on the paper for her to read. That is her job. Yes. Can you imagine? They care so much about Hawaii. Well, you got, misgender. Is that a raise? I don't want to use that word. She called their female senator a man. And then she said, Senator Brian Schatz, check your britches. It's going to take a lot for me to let this go.
Rico.
As you can tell. So, that's $700. She was asked, by the way, about Biden calling families who are the victims of the devastation in Maui. Audio soundbite 4, Silta Play. This is what she says when she was questioned about that.
Aside from the statement from the president, has President Biden spoken to any family members of wildfire victims or plans to in the future?
I don't have any calls to speak to at this.
Do they have cell service in by Lake Tahoe? I've been up by the Lake Tahoe area. It is a beautiful area. It is gorgeous. I didn't realize they didn't have cell phone service or any kind of phones up there. How do they work? We got affiliates up there. How do you all call each other? I mean, you have to like go out and, I mean, what do? Do you send carrier pigeon? How does that work? Apparently there, did you know that, Kane? Where's the, is that a communication desert? And if so, can I go there now immediately? Because I just feel like that would be the easiest thing that he could do. He seems like he just doesn't give, he doesn't care. He had a staffer tweet for him and that's it. He hasn't said anything else. Now he's speaking right now. I'm not taking it. But he's talking a little bit about it right now. But he's only repeating, from what I understand, the stuff that he said on Twitter. Steve is watching it for us. Apparently it's only the stuff that was said on Twitter. So, I mean, I don't know. Maybe Senator Schatz can help out, you know.
Did you see anything in there on bribery? Because wouldn't that be part of the RICO charges?
Mm-hmm. Bribery? Well, yeah, that's all part of the thing, yeah. That's, I mean, it encompasses, like, all of that. I mean, the RICO thing. I mean, depending on what charges you bring. I don't know what, I mean, clearly she's going for the conspiracy thing.
It's like he drank extortion. Some tea and somehow it furthered the conspiracy. Like, these are... If anyone has read these documents,
you switched off the Maui thing real quick.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying.
Senator Schartz, what's up? I'm just saying.
It is crazy, though.
Oh, we're gonna get to that. We're gonna get to that. I wanted to bring up this op-ed really quickly, because now people. Well, it's not just an op-ed. It's an op-ed of a bunch of other people. People apparently are pretty outraged that. Well, I mean, in fact, Democrat Hawaii State Rep. Mark Canella, Canella Ng, had said, quote, I campaign for you. Now when I lose dozens of my friends, family, and neighbors, this? Ooh. Ooh. That's... The state Democrats are getting, are apparently livid over there. And it's not just this, the stories that are starting to come out. State rep also serves as the national director of the Green New Deal Network. That's literally his, like, energy baby. And this is supposed to, I mean, he campaigned for him. I went back and looked. He was a major campaigner for Biden in Hawaii. Hawaii has been Democrat for forever. And it amazes me the infrastructure issues that they can have. And the other thing that I was looking at, and I'm kind of curious to see how this is going to, this is why, y'all got to be careful about these damn Democrats. Residents are now concerned that they're going to have property developers try to come in and buy up for a pittance the burned areas of Lahaina and other areas of Maui that have been, like, outside of the town that have been affected by wildfires. And price them out of further out of being able to own property. And they're very concerned about that. And they've been concerned about how that's happened for a long time, which moves me to ask a question. What party has been the de facto for forever administrators of that state? What party? It's not Republicans. It's Democrats. If you are unhappy with how it's been handled and you want to ensure that stuff like that doesn't happen, consider implementing that at the ballot box. Because I do think that that's a legitimate concern, don't you? I think it's a legitimate concern. I mean, one of the reasons that, you know, I was thinking about this because I know it's difficult to actually get property in Hawaii. And isn't it something like unless you are born and raised and you can show, you know, that you are a native Hawaiian. It's like basically, isn't it like a termed lease, like for 100 years or something like that? It's like never actual outright ownership. But then I digress. Do you actually ever own your own property with property tax? That's a big question, you know? But I do think that they have legitimate concerns. And I think one of the cool things about, you know, moving to other places and especially going to islands and going all is the culture is half of the experience, not just the scenery and everything else. It's, you know, it's the food, it's the culture, it's everything, it's people. And I would just think that the administrators on that state would want to work to preserve that. The party that runs the state would want to preserve that and want to do something that is still in keeping with liberty while also protecting, you know, property rights and people from being exploited by BlackRock-esque maneuvers in terms of land purchasing. So that's kind of what I'm thinking about with all of this. I don't know how you do that necessarily. I know that there are probably, like, really good people who are experts in, you know, real estate that do, but it seems like that's something that they definitely need to explore, because I do think that that's a legitimate concern. And I hadn't thought about that before. I mean, think about it. You're going to have desperate people who've lost everything, and you're going to have these property developers. I'm not against. I think gentrification is used as a pejorative way too damn much. Nobody's against making something nicer, but you are against BlackRock type of stuff that make it to where you can't own your own damn property. Although people complain about BlackRock and say nothing about property tax, so I don't know. You see where I'm going? I don't know how to remedy that situation, but I'm watching it, though. I think it's a legitimate concern. You don't want people like Barack Obama buying up every Tom Selleck house over there and then ignoring state law and damaging the coastline because you're shoring it up for your own property. What? Yeah. All right, I want to get to some of this other stuff. You had brought up a little bit ago, Kane. What did you bring up? You brought up the Hunter thing, didn't you? No, the indictment thing. The Trump indictment.
Yeah, I think we talked.
There's so many two standards of justice and so many witch hunts. I don't know which witch hunt. One of them's not a witch hunt.
I was talking about Stacey Abrams, too. And, like,
okay, yeah. So here's the question. I asked Kane this on break. Why? Okay, if it's to say specifically. And again, you can't tie this to incitement because the Jack Smith charges, the indictment, does not say that he incited. He's not being accused of incitement, so you can't say this incited. To say, and this was part of like her conspiracy under the RICO stuff. Where's this at? Was this page 50 and page 20 something? Where's this at? I'm sorry, I'm pulling up the indictment. Because I asked Kane this on break. And I said, well, Georgia, Stacey Abrams told everybody that she lost an election. People protested. Why isn't she in jail then? I'm not asking, saying I want people randomly jailed. I'm asking to why the difference in treatment. Well, if that is actionable, then why wasn't it acted upon? If it's illegal to say that, because that's sort of... Now, I do realize that in this particular indictment, she... I think this is a stretch. She's trying to argue that she is not necessarily saying that him... That Trump claiming that the election was rigged there. Her argument is that it's part of a furtherance of a conspiracy. That sounds like you're playing semantics at this point, though, doesn't it? I was thinking about this for the past couple of breaks. Doesn't that kind of sound like you're playing semantics? Okay, so then why Stacey Abrams is okay to say it? Trump should just change his name to Biden at this point. Jeez. Right? Just change your name to Biden. And then they'll be like, oh, wait a minute. Sorry, sir. And he could be like, yeah, I identify as Biden. If he does, honestly, if he had good people around him advising him, which I don't believe he does. No, I don't. And people can get mad. But this is what I'd tell him to do. I'd be like, all right, sir, this is what you're doing. You're going to go out there and you're going to say I identify as a Biden. So all these charges should go away, right? Where's my sweet plea deal? That's a way to immediately, A, you highlight the ridiculousness of what's happening. And then B, you immediately refocus all the attention on one of the biggest cover-ups again. Wait, is this the first? Hang on, let me count the cover-ups real quick on my hands. I need another hand. Hold your hand up too. Okay, all right. So, thank you. Thank you for the aid.
No problem.
But he immediately refocuses it on the latest cover-up, right? That's what he needs to do. That's what his people should be doing, which they listen to me because they hate me, but some of his people do. I like him, but some of his people, because I've criticized them and they're thin-skinned. I don't like the counsel that they give them and they get mad at me. I don't care about your feelings. I care about winning. That's it. I care about winning. And people are like, that's very Machiavellian. And? Anyway, tell that to the founders. So... I think that's honestly the worst thing I think people could do is lose their minds about it. I think you have to play this real smart, because think about it like this. You're going to have this dragged out in front of the American public. How long do you think if Willis gets her deal, if she gets her wish and she gets all these, you know, 19 get tried and then he gets tried and you get the cameras in there. That is a multi-week campaign commercial. And that's how you got to look at it. And that's how you got to operate it. You can't lose your head. You can't be over the top. You got to treat it like a campaign commercial. Free, it's earned media, which is redundant, free. It's earned media. He's got to get some really smart people around him to deal with this. Because that is how you finesse it.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Woo! All right. So, I hesitate. Has the Mars rover discovered extraterrestrial life, according to a study? I don't know. They're wondering about some of these water deposits and unique mud formations that the Mars rover unmanned mission has discovered. They stereotypical of wet and dry spells over millions of years. It's otherwise like cold and dry, but they said that it could have created the conditions necessary for life. It's a study called the Sustained Wet Dry Cycling on Early Mars. It was released just a couple of days ago in the peer-reviewed journal Nature. They said that the hexagonal patterns discovered are formed when an area has extended wet seasons. And so they are saying that there's the presence of perennially wet surface environments. It's well documented. And so they're wondering if that actually starts the basis for that. Interesting. Oh my gosh. A boy survived a 100-foot Grand Canyon fall after dodging a tourist photo. People need to stop with the stupid selfies and the photos everywhere. It is so annoying. I feel like you should be able to get a pass if people take too long or are too ridiculous about it to smack them. This 13-year-old boy slipped and fell. It took them 2 hours to pull Wyatt Kaufman to safety on Tuesday. He told a station that he had moved out of the way so people could take pictures. And so he was squatting down and holding onto a rock, trying to get out of these people's pictures because they're so blanking stupid that they didn't know that there was a little boy behind them because they were so self-involved with staring at their cameras. He says he didn't remember anything after the fall. Just be aware. And you know what? Honestly, stop taking pictures everywhere. Stop it. Actually live. Too many people live your life online. Back after this.
Between Twitter, Facebook, or any of your social media, there's a lot of information out there. That's why your lovable curmudgeon is here to help you make sense of it all. Live or on demand, The Dana Show.
Specifically, the indictment brings felony charges against Donald John Trump.
She's too playful.
William Louis Giuliani. Mm. John Charles Eastman. Mm. Mark Randall Meadows, John Cheeseborough, Jeffrey Clark, Rico. Jenna Lynn Ellis.
We got to play these 17 more
Ray
times.
Ray Stallings Rico. Smith the third.
Wait.
Robert David Cheely,
Rico.
Michael A. Roman,
Rico.
David James Schaefer,
Rico.
Sean Micah Tresher Steele.
Oh, sorry. Well,
Stephen Cliffgard Lee.
Rico.
Harrison William Prescott Floyd.
Rico.
Travion C. Cootie.
Rico.
Sydney Catherine Powell.
Rico.
Kathleen Austin Latham.
Rico.
Scott Graham Hall.
Rico.
And Misty Hampton, also known as Emily Misty Hayes.
Rico.
And there it is. I told you guys it was going to be ridiculous today. You thought I was joking.
How many Ricos?
Well, there's 19, so I was trying to play it approximately 19 times. And whenever are we going to be able to play that song from our childhood that actually Stephen Wan knew?
Yeah.
Welcome back to the show, Dana Lash with you, lovable curmudgeon. They knew that song. I didn't know Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch, but they knew Gerardo, who, by the way, is a Christian youth pastor. Isn't that nice? Yeah. I'm glad to hear about like a 90s artist, like he and Marky Mark, 90s artists that like didn't go wrong ways and now they're, you know, living the good life. All right, so these charges, and we were talking about this indictment and what it means, and we got some hot audio too, by the way, from Biden a little earlier because he was speaking about his Bidenomics. Did he address, because this all happened when we were on air, I don't know if he actually addressed the indictment. He did say this, though. I guess he tried to have a go at Texas Governor Greg Abbott. Listen to this.
Texas, the state of Texas, a very enlightened governor. Mm-hmm. The very state of Texas has the significant highest number of wind and solar facilities, I think, of any state in the nation. And it's cheaper than fossil fuel. He wants to shut them down. Isn't that enlightened?
You don't live here. You mean the stuff that froze up and that didn't work
when we needed it?
You barely sentient cheese brain. What? I mean, come on. I guess he tried to insult him, but it didn't work. So, in the meantime, I'm going to bring this up because I just saw this hit. This is a note from the DOJ filing today. Hunter Biden's legal team apparently rejected a new plea deal just one day before David Weiss requested special counsel status. Now his defense appears ready to contest negotiations over the original deal. Isn't that interesting? And in addition, and this is coming, I'll make sure I get this attribution. This is DC Examiner. A third witness confirmed that somebody at DOJ tipped off the transition team about all that. But yeah, this is the, Yeah, that's the reply to response number 32. It's the latest motion from his team. And they say in this, they're wanting to contest the negotiations over the original deal. They rejected that plea deal one day before Weiss asked for special counsel status. It's all coincidence. What are you guys talking about? I'm so silly. You guys acting like this is just a coincidence. That's all this is. Just a bunch of coincidences. But in the meantime, Trump gets RICO charges.
RICO.
Tons of them.
For tweeting.
Okay, here's the other question that I had. Because, let me pull this up. So, the Mark Meadows charge, and forgive me, I'm pulling up my thing on this. This was Act 6.
Yeah, Act 19 also.
So it says, on or about the 21st day of November 2020, Mark Randall Meadows sent a text message to United States Representative Scott Perry from Pennsylvania and stated, quote, can you send me the number for the speaker and the leader of the Pennsylvania legislature? POTUS wants to chat with them. This was an overt act in furtherance of the conspiracy. So Willis is saying that this, because conspiracy is part of the RICO, she's saying that that's evidence of the RICO charge, to justify the RICO charge. But you're looking at racketeering. You're with this charge. You're essentially looking at. I mean, it's kind of, this is wild to me. You're looking at racketeering. You're looking at an established organized criminal enterprise engaged in this in Fulton County. So does this open up any action in Pennsylvania to discovery as part of this case? I actually don't know the answer. Actually, I'm going to ask a friend of mine real quick on message. So, in a text message, because I'm curious about that. Is that, would that open that up?
And that's not the only one that mentioned.
No, that's not the only one, because there's two of those. What did you say? Act 6 and Act 19? It was Act 19.
Yeah, Mark Meadows was named in Act 19 as well.
I'm just curious. Would that open that up to that? I'm wondering.
Because there's also, Arizona's also named in mm-hmm. Act 20.
So if your name, I mean, by nature of naming that, I just kind of wonder if that makes it fair game to go, you know, for explorative purposes for this case, to, you know, for that to come up and, you know, that to be part of the case in discovery. See, and if so, is that a mistake on her part? Because she's including, from my understanding, my interpretation of this count or this charge, is she including stuff that was going on in Pennsylvania as part of the charges to necessitate a RICO indictment in Fulton County? Because I would think that totally opens it up to discovery if that's the case, right? I mean, that's kind of, and again, you know, I'm not an attorney, but as an informed American citizen, I know enough about my government. I know enough about court procedure to understand, you know, to ask these types of questions. And if anyone tells you that you can't weigh in on something because you don't have a law background, well, then you go tell them to pound sand, because you're an informed American citizen and you're not a moron. And that's not the basis of this country. I just wonder that, because as you mentioned, Arizona was brought up too. So that's interesting, that aspect of it. I mean, is that a mistake on her part, or is it intentional? I don't know. I actually don't know the answer to that. I will get an answer, or what someone thinks that they understand on it. So this, as I said earlier, Kemp cannot remove the prosecutor. Kemp cannot pardon. Georgia has a pardon board. Kemp can replace, you know, people on the board, but the board cannot rule on the pardon until like 5 years of the sentence is served. Like a third of the sentence, I think. I know that there was the way that I understand it, there was some kind of change to that law, but it's under judicial review from what I understand. And even so, I still think that that caveat of having to serve a portion of the sentence is in effect in order for it to be considered. So that just to give you some insight, Brian Kemp can't really do a lot with this. I want to also the co-conspirators. I think this is more of just to kind of dovetail into what Andy McCarthy had written earlier today. Because it seems less legally problematic, I'm just wondering, do you think that some of these other people, you know, the quote-unquote co-conspirators, I wonder if any of them are they going to try to flip to get testimony against Trump? Are they going to turn?
It's maybe by design that way.
That's what I'm wondering. That's what I'm wondering on this as well. Mm-mm-mm. But I'm telling you, now this woman is, I mean, she's throwing everything at it because she wants to get a conviction. Meanwhile, you got Hunter Biden doing everything he can to not. And the government working with him. It's mind blowing. A few other things I want to make sure that we are hitting as well. We were talking about Maui. We've discussed a couple of other things. I told you a little earlier about that climate change case that was so ridiculous. And it was basically brought about by teenagers who were mad that they, young adults, not even teenagers, who were mad that they couldn't skate. And a bunch of bougie rich progressives in Montana. Just a quick note on that. For people who don't believe that politics is downstream from culture and it has no effect, and culture has no effect, that case is prime example A as to why it does. Prime example A. Now, in the meantime, what are you getting geared up over there?
I'm seeing Nevada in here. They've mentioned several states.
Is that bait or?
Yeah, I'm not sure because they have to do with electors from what I can see here. So the big question, which you've already asked, is will this open up discovery in those areas?
Yeah, that's my thing. Does that mean that can, I would imagine it can. I mean, if she's using that as part of her case, and Lorraine's got a couple of really good pieces over at Chapter and Verse, the newsletter, which you need to go read if you want to get a good grounding and know exactly, you know, what is what and where everything is in the story. Because she's saying that these criminal actions as part of this overall conspiracy to substantiate her RICO charge. These are all the other states that this behavior was, or that these criminal actions were going on in. So that's further. So she's using all of those as evidence for her Fulton County charges, which I would assume, I am going to say that opens it all up to discovery. So who knows what's going to come out of that? I don't know if you can, I know that Jack Smith's trying to get his thing fast-tracked. Hers doesn't matter, does it? Can you imagine? Just think, if you would have somebody who's in the White House who would have to serve time, how does that work? Because they can't pardon themselves. Man, I don't know. But I will say this, and I think enough and more people need to say it. Brian Kemp and Trump are kind of going back and forth on their respective social platforms. Kemp said that the election in Georgia wasn't stolen. Now, look, I'll tell you that all this. Do I believe the entire election was stolen? The entirety of it? I don't. Not without evidence. I need evidence. I'm not saying that it wasn't. I'm saying that I am a conservative constitutionalist. I operate in fact and science. Just like I don't believe that you can chop off your willy and be a chick, I do not believe that something can happen without evidence of something happening. And so to that point, I need evidence for something that, because it's very difficult. And it goes against the way our entire system was designed, decentralized voting process. But I don't think that Trump helped himself by going to war with all these like state lawmakers and the governor and all that stuff. He did not help himself. But that's like his throw everything at it, and then we'll think about the repercussions later. He's got to have a better strategy on this. And a lot of that is the people who are advising him. You've got to have a better strategy on this stuff so that you can so you can like figure out what your next move is after the dust settles.
Catch The Dana Show noon to 3 p.m. Eastern on DirecTV Channel 347.
So make sure you sign up for Chapter and Verse, the newsletter. Anything huge will come out on that, as it always does. Now, tomorrow, I am not going to be in. I am moving a kid, the youngest son, to college. And so I'll be out. I know. I don't know if it's easier with the second. Or, I don't know. Is it? I don't know if it's easier with the second or not. He's, like, way more responsible. So I don't know. Not that the oldest one isn't, but, you know, the youngest is just very responsible. So I just don't, I don't know. He had, like, a list and everything. It was like watching my younger self. It was kind of wild. But, yeah, list of every, exactly what he was packing, you know, exactly what, you know, he's going into. He was the brainiac. So he's going into engineering and computer sciences. And I don't know what he's going to do. He's going to turn into a mad scientist. He's going into, you know, software, engineering, all of that stuff. He loves robotics. He loves all of this. So he'll, I don't know. Maybe he'll create a robot army. I don't know at this point. I mean, he's apt to. So we'll see. But he thinks, oddly enough, he thinks college is a sham and a scam, but he got scholarships. So he's taking advantage of scholarships. So it makes sense. But Andy's going to take some business classes because he does want to own his own business. And I'm like, well, I suggest you take some business classes because we kind of humbled him with one part. He told us that he's like, I just don't. I think I'm just going to start a business and I'm just going to do it that way. And I'm like, okay, well, what are you going to do for capital? And we were asking him some questions and told him to write me up a business proposal, a pitch. And he did. And I told him it was garbage. And I said, you need some business classes. So he's going to take some classes. So this is why I'm saying, like, don't go easy on your kids. What you don't teach your kids in the home, they're going to learn either the easy way or the hard way out in the real world. So you got to decide that as the parents. So for all you moms and dads sending your kids off, man, my hearts are with y'all. All right, today in stupidity.
All right, Janet Yellen, and this isn't the mushroom comments either. This is something else. She was asked about inflation. And, you know, if things are really turning around, are we to expect that the level of prices will go down? Well, this is her response.
So I don't want to say that the level of prices will go down, but I think inflation will subside to rates that are quite normal and within the range that the Fed is seeking to target.
Okay.
She's still high on them shrooms.
I don't believe her. Yeah, exactly. I don't believe her about the shrooms, and I don't believe her about the economy.
Oh, yeah. I don't believe her about this either. Nope. I'm just going to say she's a shroom effect is still in place. There you go. All right, folks, make sure you sign up for the newsletter. Again, I'll be out tomorrow. But when I come back, we got a big rest of the week. We got Ron DeSantis. We got Riley Gaines. We got John Rich. We got all kinds of guests coming on the programs beginning Thursday. So I'll be back behind the mic with you then. God bless.